Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Never Give In. The Best of Winston Churchill's Speeches is a curated collection of Churchill's public addresses. Assembled with historical and literary care, rather than arranged as a conventional narrative. First published in 2003, it presents a broad selection from across Churchill's long career, beginning with his earliest speeches and continuing through the Second World War and his later public life. The volume is especially notable because it was compiled and annotated by Churchill's grandson, giving it both familial intimacy and editorial context. Its purpose is to show how Churchill used language as a political instrument, a moral appeal, and a form of national leadership. Readers encounter speeches that helped define his reputation for resolve, clarity, and endurance, including the famous Harrow School address that gave the book its title. The collection is valuable both as a sourcebook for Churchill enthusiasts and as an accessible introduction to one of the 20th century's most influential orators. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a career-spanning portrait of Churchill through his own voice. The book is not a biography in the usual sense, but it still functions as a compact intellectual portrait of Churchill because it gathers speeches from many stages of his life. By moving from his early public remarks to wartime addresses and later reflections, the collection shows the continuity of his public character over decades. This structure matters because Churchill is often remembered only as the wartime prime minister. Yet the speeches reveal a broader political identity formed through military service, journalism, parliamentary work, and crisis leadership. The reader can see how his ideas about duty, national purpose, and political action developed over time without needing a separate interpretive framework. That long view also highlights a central feature of the book. Churchill's words are presented as historical evidence, not merely inspirational excerpts. The collection invites readers to trace how rhetoric adapts to changing circumstances while preserving a consistent moral stance. Secondly, the central theme of refusal, endurance, and moral resolve. The title speech at Harrow School anchors the book's most recognizable theme, the insistence that defeat is not inevitable unless one yields internally first. Churchill's repeated command to never give in is more than a slogan. In the speeches collected here, it becomes a governing principle tied to discipline, courage, and moral self-command. The theme appears in military contexts, parliamentary remarks, and wartime broadcasts, giving it practical force rather than abstract optimism. What distinguishes the collection is that it presents resilience as a political ethic as well as a personal virtue. Churchill is not simply encouraging hope. He is arguing that free societies must preserve purpose under pressure if they are to survive. The book therefore documents how repeated language, memorable cadence, and blunt imperatives can shape public morale. Readers interested in leadership will see that Churchill's endurance rhetoric worked because it linked mutual steadiness to national responsibility. Thirdly, speeches as instruments of wartime leadership and public morale. A major strength of the collection is its demonstration of how Churchill used speechmaking to manage fear, maintain unity, and define wartime aims with unusual clarity. The speeches included from the Second World War show that his public language was strategic. He did not merely describe events, he framed them in a way that made collective sacrifice intelligible and necessary. This is one reason the book remains important for students of political communication. Churchill's rhetoric often balances severity with reassurance, acknowledging danger while refusing paralysis. He uses directness, repetition, and vivid contrasts to create a sense of common purpose. The speeches also reveal the importance of timing an audience, since remarks to Parliament, to students, or to the nation at large serve different functions. By placing these addresses together, the book shows that wartime leadership depends not only on policy, but on the ability to sustain belief in action, even when the situation is bleak. Fourthly, editorial selection and annotation shape the reader's understanding. Because this is a selected collection rather than a complete set of speeches, the book also invites attention to editorial judgment. Churchill's grandson, Winston, compiled and annotated the volume, which adds a layer of interpretation and historical framing to the speeches themselves. That matters because any selection inevitably shapes how a public figure is remembered. The book favors pieces that are representative, memorable, or historically significant, and it includes some less familiar material alongside the best-known addresses. The annotations help place speeches in context, making the collection useful for readers who may not know the surrounding political events or parliamentary debates. This editorial approach gives the book a different value from a raw archive. It is designed for readability, not exhaustive documentation. At the same time, it remains selective enough that readers should not mistake it for Churchill's complete or final word. Its strength lies in curated access, combining historical reliability with a clearly shaped interpretive perspective. Lastly, why the book matters for readers of rhetoric, history, and leadership. The collection stands out because it serves several audiences at once. For general readers, it offers an approachable way into Churchill's language without requiring specialist knowledge of British political history. For historians, it provides a useful sampling of speeches that illuminate key moments in Churchill's career and the public culture of his time. For students of rhetoric, it is a practical study in how repetition, rhythm, and direct address can produce lasting influence. The book also has value as a reference for understanding why Churchill remains such a prominent figure in discussions of leadership. His speeches are not presented as abstract lessons, but as responses to specific historical pressures, which makes them more instructive than a collection of detached quotations. Compared with shorter quote books, this volume offers more context and continuity. Compared with complete editions, it is more selective and readable. That middle position is part of what makes it distinctive. It preserves the force of Churchill's speechmaking while making it accessible to a wide audience. In conclusion, never give in. The best of Winston Churchill's speeches is best suited to readers who want Churchill as an orator rather than Churchill as a purely political icon. It will appeal to history readers, students of public speaking, leadership scholars, and general audiences who want a substantial but manageable selection of speeches with context. The book's practical benefit is that it shows how language can be used to shape public resolve during crisis. While its intellectual benefit lies in revealing how one statesman sustained a consistent public philosophy across an unusually long career, what makes it stand out among similar collections is the combination of careful selection, historical breadth, and annotation by Churchill's grandson. That editorial design gives the volume both authority and readability. It is more substantial than a quote anthology, yet less demanding than a complete archival edition. As a result, it works well as both an introduction and a companion volume, offering a clear view of Churchill's rhetorical method, his historical significance, and the enduring appeal of his public voice. If you would like to support Winston S. Churchill, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.